Sorry.
We're ready.
Okay, okay. When the reasons for a modification have been corrected, that is a change in circumstances which a court can consider. My name's Bell Island, and I represent the appellant Cynthia Davis. And as in most motion to modify cases, this case turns on the facts. And I think what really is important in this case is the fact of what James wants. We have a correction of all the concerns, and the judge said, look, I've never found you to be unfit. You have some problems, you have some uncertainties in your life, you had, some criminal history, you had some drug problems, you had some employment issues. These are things that you need to focus on because that's where you're at, not your son. And so now we're going to go ahead and change and give you an opportunity to do that. She does that. Comes back almost a year later and is doing extremely well. She's been in recovery, she's been tested regularly, she's resolved her criminal problem, she has some stability in her living, although with her parents, but not unusual. People turn to their parents for that kind of stability. And the son now has been with the dad for a year. A dad who really, up until he took custody, was not very engaged. Didn't text him, didn't come to his games, really didn't spend much time with him. And now that he's up there with him, he's spending time, the dad really poo-poos his concerns about wanting to go home. Laughs at him when he talks to him about his problems. He doesn't feel comfortable to talk to him about what's going on in his life. Yet, he goes to his mom's house, and that's the person that's been with him every day from the time he was a little boy. The person who supported him, kept behind him, made sure that he was doing okay, wanted to encourage him in sports, and just to talk to him and share what was going on in his life, things that he wasn't getting with his dad. And I think those are all valid reasons. And I understand the judge said he didn't expect any change in that, but when he sustains the motion to grant the verdict, it seems to be, look, I'm finding there's no change in circumstances here. That seems to be his primary concern. But as I think the case cited by the opposing counsel in their argument to the judge for the directed verdict, the Adams case, it talks about when you correct those issues, that is a material change in circumstances. And it makes sense. You're an alcoholic, you're no longer an alcoholic, you're feeling like an alcoholic. You're always an alcoholic. You're a drug abuser, you dealt with it. That makes sense. You're always going to have that issue. And so because of that, that does make a change for the judge to consider. And then we look at the reason. The stability was now in the Davis' life, and problems that had occurred, those were addressed. And then Jake, 15-year-old, that's a tough time for kids to understand the brain. But he was struggling where he was at, between the city, between his family, between his options are available. And it's like the Fortuner case, or however you pronounce that, where Mark, where the son, Brayden, wanted to be with Mark because he felt more comfortable at the home. He felt like he had a better relationship with his dad. He could communicate with him. It seems very similar to all the reasons expressed by Jason in this case. And unfortunately, because she is still the mother in our confusing cases, sorry. And that was why it was appropriate to sustain that finding that the change should occur. I think the same is in this case. And since the birth case, I think the role of a child's expressed opinion is really important. I think that birth case seems to indicate that when a child expresses well-founded reasons, and this is much more well-founded than the birth case. I mean, birth case was, well, I kind of like both my parents. In this case, it's I got a good relationship with one, not with the other. I get support from one, not from the other. When I'm doing what I love, my mom supports me. When I'm doing something else, I don't get that support unless it's right under the initial supervision. And when you pull those cases together, Jaden's expressions of his desire, I think, are extremely important. And why that sways this case, I think, over the norm of maybe there hasn't been a material change, maybe there hasn't been a best interest, but we know, one, the judge is wrong in terms of material change, and two, I think when you look at the Burke case and all the reasons explained by Jaden as why he wants to change, then that's why that's important.
Now, Jaden's position hadn't changed from the last month.
Right. That's true, other than, like in the Fortuner case, he said, look, I talked to my dad about wanting to go back to life, and now I no longer feel like I can talk to him about my problems. That's a change. When he said, look, I've lived there, and I'm not getting support from my dad, that's a change. So, yes, He wanted to live with his mom, or that overall global position has not changed. But the specifics of, I'm not getting any help from dad, I'm not getting support from dad, and dad doesn't respect me and want to talk to me, and I can't even go talk to him about my problem. You know, after a year, you figure things would kind of settle down, they'd be okay, all right, I'm not used to you, but okay, you're my dad, and I've developed that relationship.
Wasn't there some evidence, though, that he was doing very well in his father's home, in front of his school, in activities? All of those things, and I don't recall how that compared to how he was doing on the Lions in school. I mean, I know we're talking a little bit apples and oranges here, as far as what his wishes are and what and how he's doing. But I mean, you know, we don't put the child up here on the bench and say, where do you want to go?
Right.
And so. So I guess I'm having a little trouble with that.
Yeah, he seemed to be doing all right. He stayed 8 weeks in the seat. He was doing all right in sports like he liked, although he had to come back for lunch out of baseball, which is one of his, I think, major interests. And I can't remember. I didn't do the trial. I thought I remember he was doing well when he was in the Lions, but now I don't know that for certain. I don't know if that was part of the record or something.
Counsel, can I focus the spectrum?
Sure.
Position here is that there's been a correction of all the externals, and that should lead to material modification. So, as of June of 2016, you would acknowledge there were serious concerns. That's what led to the original change in circumstances and why Tiffany had touched it, correct?
Correct, yes.
So, you were significant.
Yeah, I would say.
There were issues with special math, no income, residence, criminal problems, right?
Yeah.
All those things were as of June of 2016.
Right.
So a year later, your position is that's all been corrected. Now it's changed back, right?
It's all been corrected. It's all been corrected with a reason, I think. I mean, obviously, it's not a perfect scenario that you might want to see, but we're not looking for perfect. We're looking for corrective. Correct. And in terms of being off meth, being regularly tested, and actually being a role model for everybody. Having stability in her life, although, like I said, although with her parents, that was correct. Her criminal problems have been resolved. She was on probation, eligible for early release about a month or two later, November of last year. So she was taking care of those things. She was working on getting for school, going to school, and working in school. She lost her job because they closed and was looking at another alternative.
So from June of 2016, subsequent to that, she was convicted. Placed on probation, still on probation at the time of the second trial.
Correct. Eligible for the eligible person.
Still no income, correct?
Right at that time.
No residence living at home?
She was living with her parents. That was her residence. That was the one that was providing her the kind of stability and that she wanted to have in her life after her kids and was what she needed at that point. You know, to keep her progressing the way we want. I'll reserve it and remain
comfortable. Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Jason Anderson, and I represent the appellee, Troy Hochmeyer. In this matter, the district court correctly ruled that the appellant failed to meet her burden. Specifically, that she had failed to demonstrate a change in circumstances that have taken place since the entry of June 6, 2016 order, which would justify a change in custody from the father to the mother. And the court also found that even if a material change in circumstances had occurred, but the court specifically found that it would not be in the minor child's best interest to revert back custody from dad. There was no evidence offered at the trial that would indicate that the appellant will find that there's a reasonable finding based on the evidence received at the trial that there was no abuse of discretion made by the district court judge. The appellant's argument, the primary argument here, is that the mother had resolved all of the issues that she had. There was a correction of all her concerns led up to the circumstances of trial. I think the evidence received at trial is clear there had not been a correction of all concerns. So we only have 14 months, 5 months, between trial one, the father was given custody, and trial two, where mom was asking for a change. In trial number one, mom denied me. She said, I wasn't guilty of this methamphetamine crime, I didn't do the shoplifting crime at Walmart. So subsequently, in trial number two, we find she's been convicted of two separate criminal cases in two different counties. First, we have a conviction for shoplifting in Southfield. She had left Alliance, driven down to Walmart with a friend, and stolen property from Walmart. And then we have a second conviction in Boxview County District Court of Alliance, where we have attempted possession of a controlled substance. We have no operator's license in possession of drug paraphernalia. So in essence, I think the resolution that she's saying that she's correct is was actually being convicted of crimes that she had denied. Additionally, in terms of this correction of all issues, the appellate is arguing that I've maintained sobriety, so this issue of methamphetamine addiction is over. So we're 14 months removed from the appellate saying, admitting under oath in court, that she had used methamphetamine daily for the previous year. Now, at the time of trial, she's still on probation. She's still subject to random monitoring, testing by a probation officer. I don't think that it's unreasonable for a trial judge to say that a limited period of essentially forced sobriety is sufficient for me to say that we've corrected all the issues in your life. There was also evidence at the trial that while this is all happening, she chose to have a relationship with a patron who was also a methamphetamine addict. So I think part of it is I'm a role model now and I've corrected all these issues. She's still being tested. And she still makes the choice to have a relationship with somebody who's actively using methamphetamine. I don't think that that is any type of error for a trial judge to say, I have serious concerns about your ability to provide day-to-day care for the child.
So the child, who is 16 at the time of this trial, clearly expressed preference for her mother. And the court acknowledges that stated preference. I think we all agree the case law says that's one factor to consider. Can you tell me what the court was talking about in its order about it had a concern about the evidence of phone calls between the mother and Jayden?
Yes. I think one of the things the judge took strongly into account in terms of the preference is a couple of things. One is that the trial happened just days after Jayden had been with his mother all summer playing on his big stand. My client testified that that's always an emotional time, and it does take him a couple of weeks to get back into the flow. But the other is, what has the mother done during this 14 month period to support her son living up in London, South Dakota with his dad? So this was going to be a new move, right? He had been up there many times, but he had never lived up there for longer than a summer. And the judge is looking at what kind of support, what's mom saying behind the scenes to support this move. And during discovery, he received a series of recordings where the mother had been actively recording her conversations with Jake, presumably because she thought these would help her. But when we played these at trial, before we played them at trial, I went through and asked the appellant under oath. We had an informal transcript where she's clearly swearing to us. She's clearly trying to undermine dad's authority. She is making vile statements to the child about his stepparents. She is telling the child, quote, you should never be punished for anything. That if your dad wants to punish you, that'll be just great for us. And if my current lawyer doesn't do what I want her to do, then I'm just going to fire her ass and I'm going to hire somebody else. And I'm going to keep coming back and you come back to where you're supposed to be. Now I'm really ratcheting down that profanity because I don't know if that's appropriate for today. And I did set out these quotes in my brief. But it is striking. And quite frankly, while I haven't done this as long as some, I've been doing family law for about 17 years, and I can't recall any reported statements like that between a mother and a child, especially one where she recruited. I mean, I think it was clear from the background of that, but she felt like this was an appropriate thing to say to your child. So I think when you couple, you've just come back from playing this baseball game, as clearly was. And he goes up there, and we have these series of conversations at the time where mom is actively trying to undermine dad's authority. I don't think it's all that strange that the child says, I want to live in alliance. The next thing here, I think, is when we look at the judge's comment that even if I did find that a material change in circumstances had occurred, that we need to look at the best interest of the child. I don't feel it's in the best interest to move. In one of the cases, the counsel had mentioned the Adams case. While the judge in that case said, or the court of appeals said that, we should have said it was a material change in the circumstances, they still didn't feel it would be appropriate to go back to the mother in that case, precisely because mom was an alcoholic, and I think the court had talked a little bit about the tentative nature of those sobrieties. That while the child's preference could be afforded the difference, and in that case they found that it was sufficient for a material change in circumstances, they still didn't find that it was appropriate under the best interest. And I think the facts in this case are far, far worse in terms of the lack of stability in the parental home, in mom's home, versus the Adams case. I think that her alcoholism is much more attenuated than the very recent methamphetamine case, and very months before trial, relationship was still going to be.
Let me ask you this. Would you agree with counsel though that since June 2006, this looks like something that's really trying to turn it around in her lifestyle?
I think that she has made some steps. I think that I don't believe it would be unreasonable for a judge to say, I want to see some sort of period of sobriety where you're not being I want to see some period of sobriety where you're not living with your family. I would like to see some period of time where you're able to balance the rigors of life, including employment, which again, at the time of trial, she might not have. And there's definitely a conflict in the evidence. So the mother says, I'm going to school. At the time of trial, that summer, she had not been attending college. And in discovery, and I think this was in the subpoena exceptions, we get asked for that information, get us your schedule, let us know. And I don't remember specifically, but I think her testimony was, well, I'm going to sign up. But at the time of trial, again, the judge doesn't see those hallmarks of stability that you'd like to see, at least being active in school, holding a job, having some form of income. Because at the time of trial, her only form of income was from a prior semester, whatever remained of grants or student loans. I think in sharp contrast to the mother's situation, we see that the stability that was offered by the father, that he continued to be employed. He's married, he's a homeowner, has a son on a positive routine, he's playing every sport he can possibly play, and there was a clear conflict of evidence that he did not listen to his son's concerns and not want to be active. Clearly denied that. It's not a matter that I don't appreciate your concerns. I just don't think it's in your best interest to return to this.
Thank you, counsel. I believe you're out of time. How much time does Mr. Island have?
1 minute 45 seconds.
I would like to ask you about the court's comments about the phone calls and how that impacts your
You know, the judge says they're troubled by the phone call. I read the brief. I remember reading it. And while I may frown upon them on a personal level, they're in context, it's a vernacular almost. You know, why be an addiction? I think that's one of the ones that seems to be focused on. But they're making you do this, they're not letting you call me. It's kind of a way of saying, why is he being difficult? Why is he being unreasonable? So that's the way I kind of take it. I think if you look at it in context, sometimes people use language that we may not appreciate, but I don't think it's necessarily.
Well, and I'm not so much concerned about the vindictive attempt to persuade his son in some way.
I don't think the evidence shows that it's vindictive to do that. I think the son is already persuaded. He wants to be, and he can't connect to his father. I think that's where the issue comes down on. And these are things that they're having conversations. They're just talking to each other when there are problems. Unfortunately, maybe she's going too far that we normally try to encourage people not to, but talking to them about some of these issues in a very honest way about what they're going to do.
Going back to the order from the order 2015, did the court find that father and son had a great relationship at that point? Wasn't there
I don't remember that. I apologize, Your Honor. I do remember that these were all the changes. We'll go and make the change, and then we saw that in that year, that relationship just didn't develop the way we thought it might. Or I thought, you know, some father really involved in their kids' life. The only other thing I would say is I think the judge said specifically as to. You corrected all these things. I think he actually said, you can't just correct all these things without any material change in the record on page 213. Sorry. But I think he did seem to acknowledge that these problems have been addressed, at least the issues from the case in order.
Thank you both. Your case is submitted and you are excused. And we are now in recess.